Thanks, Andy. Okay, I have a bit of a game, so everybody has to listen to this, including the kids, because you could get a prize. So, as I share today, I just thought of this now. So, if you are a kids volunteer and you have keys, and you could do me a favor, when you go up to Kids Church and there's our vault, to the left is a treasure box. At the end of the service, if I could have my kids volunteers help me with the kids, because kids, if you can show me a picture today of the five verses that I'm going to be talking about, you're going to get a prize from the treasure box. Okay, it's not like, don't get too excited, okay? It's not like, I'm a Lego blowout or anything, but it's going to be a treasure. And adults, if you email me, first person to email me with the 4 points of what I'm going to share, you get a Starbucks gift card. Don't get too excited. It might just be for a coffee. And if I get 40 emails and I can't tell who was first, it might be a Timmy's, okay? But Vanessa can absolutely guarantee I follow up on my prizes, okay? Does anybody remember a few weeks ago when Ken knew about numbers 12? Is Ken here? Ken got a Starbucks gift card. So, listen up. I've done Kids Church for way too long. I'm sorry, I can't help, but it's summer. We got to stay engaged. This isn't going to be long, but so adults, that's 4 points you got to be aware of. And kids, you have to be able to get your clipboards now and your paper, because when I go over the scripture, you have to present a picture to me to get a treasure, okay? So, we are talking this summer about God's fingerprints. And I just have to say, did anyone ever go to camp as a kid and have a fire time, testimony time? Okay, yeah, Seamus, welcome back. And Janice, welcome here. This is awesome. Okay, I was the 8-year-old kid that my life was changed around a fire and hearing testimony. I remember strongly, I remember being at camp going, ah, I feel moved. I gotta share. God's been working in my life. And I was hearing God's fingerprints in other people's lives. And so I was one of those 8-year-old kids that was really moved by this topic that we're engaging in this summer. We're hearing each other's stories. And there's something the author of Hebrews says, don't stop meeting together. Don't stop. We need each other, right? We need to hear our stories. And I'm really honored that you're gonna listen to mine a little bit today. So I feel like there's a problem sometimes, though, when we think about God's fingerprints in our lives. And so, because sometimes God can invite us, but we're unaware that it just happened. And so, Andy was saying to us, did you notice what was going on this morning? The shift when we were all praying, and there was a notable shift. And that's an awareness of God's presence. He's doing something, right? But sometimes there's things that block us from responding, from even hearing the invitation. And it can be a lot of things. It can be just even our own expectations of ourselves, what people are saying to you. So many things that can distract us from hearing God's voice and responding to his invitation. And we are all wired really differently. So for me, a big driver in my life is purpose. So I'll sort of walk in a room and look around and wonder, what's my purpose? What's my role? And some of you might walk in the room and sort of go, who's in my corner? Who's my buddy? Who's my friend? Who's on my team? Who's on my side? Other people might walk in and go, when can I leave? I'm introverted. This is big. I need to leave. We all have different responses when we engage, right? And we come into this space. Like Andy said, we're all bringing different experiences into this space. So I found myself in these last, I'm going to say 2 decades, because it all happened really fast for me. I stumbled into this church at 24. I met Mike. We got married. 9 months later, Michaela came. We were elders. It was just all this, just it was just boom. I don't even know. I can't really separate them. It just all happened. Literally, I can probably just give you timelines. It was all just a matter of months. And so everything sort of mush for me. But in that mush, that beautiful mush, I have found incredible purpose. And I've been able to walk into our marriage and feel purpose from the Lord. That's like, it hasn't been, it's not a cakewalk, right? We all know that those of us who are married, it's not easy. But I found purpose there. I found purpose with our kids. I have found incredible purpose in this community, and that's why I have the Kleenex box here, because it happens anytime. I have people stumble over at my house, and I'm just suddenly crying. Sorry about that. But I found purpose here, and I found purpose in my neighborhood and in circles I found myself in. But I was facing a problem in this season because I felt like my purpose was being threatened. I felt like, and I'm going to get into what happened, and some of you have heard a little bit of our journey, but I felt that was threatened. And it was like incredibly scary and still is. So just a little bit of a recap. I don't know, some of you, like Mike and I explained a little bit of our journey in May, and then personally with a lot of you. And so a lot of you have heard this. I'm sorry for a little bit of a repeat, but in a snapshot, I'll just tell you what happened in December for us, because that's when I first would say there was a bit of a highlight for me of God's fingerprints, of Him inviting me to something. It was quite notable. And so December was around, really hard time for this community. It was right in the middle of Nathan's trial. For those of you who are new, it was a former pastor here that was arrested and convicted of a crime. But this was right in the midst of the trial, and I just felt the whole incredible dark weight of that all, right? Just like, I don't know. I just sort of thought, if bad things happen, does it get worse than this? Like, this is kind of, we're at the worst of it as a community. And that was that week that, I don't know if you remember, that Dave and Anita, our national directors, rolled into town to encourage us. I actually feel like it was such a God thing because the trial was extended and they were here in the midst of it all. And they sat around our round table, and I just love this round table. I've got it on Marketplace right now if you want it. But I love this round table because we have so many beautiful discussions around this round table. And it was one of those purchases that Mike walked by a window. Literally, it was one of those storybook things. And he's like, I want to have discussions around this round table with my family. And he walked home and brought this table. And we've had beautiful discussions. And in December was one of those times where Dave and Anita were around this round table, and they looked at Mike and I and they said, what is being a follower of Jesus look like right now for you guys in this season? I think I could have heard just a pin drop in that moment, because I don't know if they know what happened for me in that moment. I felt like, oh man, I'm going to do anything. I will do anything. I will do anything for Jesus. I sort of regretted that later. I don't know if you've ever been in that situation, but I just said it internally. It was an internal response. I am going to do anything for Jesus. And I didn't say it out loud. It was just in my heart, in my spirit. There was a shift in me. And it was remarkable. It was a remarkable shift. My kids noticed it, and they had that happen. I don't think Sam was in the room. Joseph was out of town, but my girls were around the table and they were like, what happened? They noticed it. And so we all talked later and realized that we felt like God was inviting us to something and that it could involve relocation. And so our journey is really interesting because Mike, this is in December, Mike looked back at his prayer journal in September. And he got the words, we're moving to Kelowna in September. Never told me, thank goodness, because I would have shut that down really fast. Sorry, I wasn't there yet, right? But this was happening. God was doing something, and it was remarkable, and it was really neat. And so all that to say, Mike being who he is, was like, okay, I'm going to make a plan. I kind of want to be a data scientist. I was like, what's that? He's like, I'll tell you later. I'm going to apply for UBCO right now. And so he applied. And fast forward a little bit, you know, in that time period, we discerned with each one of our kids in the moment, and they all said, do it. Like, we'll come with you. I'll tell you more about that story later, but do it. We'll come with you. We're in this. And then we just held it, you know, and then as we journeyed farther into this, Mike found out how competitive it is. And we decided as a family, we're going to hold it really loosely because the chances are high that Mike won't get in. Of course, I forgot he's a 3 on the Enneagram. He will get in. He didn't even talk to us for 2 months. He got in. He didn't talk to us because he was doing a course to get into the program. So, all that to say, in that time period before Mike got accepted, and even as he got accepted, the agreement I made to the Lord, to Mike, to our kids, was that I will not move unless, and this is the order, you don't have to, this isn't the Starbucks gift card thing, but this was my order, that I have to have a full-time job in Kelowna. We have to have housing for our entire family, all six of us, and we have to sell our house. And it was in that order. So full-time job, housing for six, sell our house. And so that was great. Like, the kids said, yeah, perfect. That sounds reasonable. Mike said, great. You know, I said, great. I didn't really check in with God. I was just sort of like, Lord, that's my list. I'm giving everything for you, but it's got to be like this. And so I want to ask you right now, have you ever experienced this? Like, have you ever felt an invitation, you know, similar to that shift I had around our round table? But then you kind of go, yeah, but it's got to be like this for me to say yes, you know? Just going to give you a moment to think about that in your life. Think of a situation where you felt God's invitation and you're like, yep, but it's got to be like this. So I don't think that's evil. I think it's normal. We're responsible. I'm trying to, like, feed kids and we're trying to make things work. I just want to be a good citizen. But as I was journeying in this journey, and I'm going to get a little bit more into that, I began to be more challenged by what Jesus could be inviting me to. And so here's the scripture, kids. We're going to go into five verses right now. So everybody has to listen, because someone from my kids' church team hopefully will get the treasure box. Okay, so we're going to look at Mark chapter 1. And we're going to listen, and some of us really know this story, so including you kids, if you know this, I want you to still imagine hearing it for the first time or actually imagine being in the story, because there's always new things that Jesus is speaking to us, right? And so use today, use this morning to ask the Lord, what are you saying? What are you saying to me? And that's adults too, right? Let's use this to say, Jesus, come and meet us. So Mark 1, verse 16. All you kids are listening? You got your... Now, you can either write down things or picture. There's no specific rules, but I want to know that you caught the gist of the story. As he was passing by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, Simon's brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me. Now that phrase actually in the Greek is come after me. Come after me. That actually means share in my life. Eat with me. Meet who I'm going to meet. Live with me. Walk with me. Be part of my talking, my brainstorming. Pray with me. That's what come after me meant. Come after me and I will make you fishers of people. So the word make here, I want all of you kids looking. Does anybody know what make, what Jesus would be meaning when he says make? I'm going to make you. Any guesses? Make, and I don't expect you to know this, but in the Greek, actually is a form of poem, a poetry. So Jesus is saying, I'm going to form you. So come after me and I'll form you this way. I'll make you fishers of people. So Jesus here, like, we've just finished a series on the Beatitudes. We get how Jesus flipped things. This comes just before the Beatitudes, Jesus calling his disciples. But Jesus is actually flipping tradition, because in the Rabbinic, is that how I say it? Rabbinic tradition, the student would ask the teacher, can I follow you? But Jesus is flipping it here and he's saying, come after me. And tradition was, you know, you're going to live with me and spend time with me. But he was flipping the order of who did the asking. And in fact, we don't really hear Jesus say, hey, do you want to follow me? Do you want to come? Do you want to follow me? It's actually a command. Come. Come after me. Follow me. And I will form you into fishers of people. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And I just want to say that again. Everybody listening? Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. So I think when I was a kid, like, kids, listen to this, because I think when I was your age, some of you, I thought, easy peasy. They had nothing going on. They're sitting in a boat. Jesus comes along. Come follow me. He's inviting them to something way better. Easy peasy, no problem. But actually, when I was researching this further, it's like, no. Capernaum was a major trade center. Galilee actually would have been profitable. Like, there would have been some profit there. And when you read about this, when you read about the disciples' response, it actually says, going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and brother John, and they were in the boat mending the nets. And immediately, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and went away after him. So that implies there's Zebedee, there's the hired men. Like, it's happening. It's a family business, and there's hired people. So, like, I don't think it was easy peasy. I actually think that they were giving up something there. They were giving up family, history, tradition, community, vocation, money, income, however we want to say it. And that's some of the newness we can glean from this story today, right? There's that immediacy. And so it's surprising. The disciples' response is surprising. You know, how did they do that immediately? And there's lots of different, we can guess at it. There's no answers in Scripture. Maybe they were waiting for Jesus, like some of us in our lives were waiting for Jesus. And the Greek actually have two different words for time. So they have chronos, which is the logical tick-tock, you know, like right now it's, people know it's getting closer to lunch, you know. But then there's the kairos. That would have been a kairos moment for the disciples, because that's like the, whoa, he just called me, and I'm actually dropping everything and responding. And so Mike and I, around the table with our girls, had sort of a kairos moment. It was like, okay, I guess I got to drop everything here. What does that look like? And so back to my story. I'm going to flip back. So kids, that's the scripture there that you're going to make sure that I know that you know. And you're done, but I want you to keep listening, because adults, this is where the adults come in. They need to know what these next 4 points are going to be if they want to be part of this prize. So there was a sense in our plan, our journey is a bit long. I'm going to give you the real snapshot of it. But I started becoming really aware that my order was not going to be God's order of things. So my three things, right? Full-time job, housing for six, all that. It was really interesting what happened. So Mike, our three kids, and we can maybe go to that picture. Those are our three kids at camp, and Sam is here, so that's why I don't have Sam's picture. I figured you can all see him right now. But so Michaela on the right is our oldest. She did a DTS in Thailand a couple years ago. She came back from that. That's a YWAM 6-month thing. She came back and said, I want to do an SBS. That's where you study scripture for 9 months. We were like, get a degree first, you know, and then go do that. But that hunger never left her, and she just kept on talking about it. And I'll tell you what happened in a minute. And then Sarah is our third child. They didn't realize I actually wanted their birth order in this picture. Sarah's our third child. She's our third. She knew that she was going to go on a 6-month DTS this year. She just graduated. Joseph is our second. Now, he was just coming back when all this was happening with our invitation, our sense, our kairos moment. We phoned Joseph up. He was in Mongolia. We said, Joseph, what do you think? Would you come to UBCO with us? We're thinking of doing this. Like, we didn't want to do this unless all of our kids were on board with this. And we didn't want them to feel like we're abandoning them. So Joseph said, yeah, I'm in. And so did Michaela, and so did Sarah. And they all applied at universities with us in Kelowna. But we didn't know then what was happening. So we had the Kairos moment in December. Fast track to March. And Mike's picking up Joseph picking him up, hardship in Hawaii at the end of his DTS. It was really tough. And Joseph is talking to Mike about, Dad, I want to go do this SBS. I want to go study scripture for 9 months. God's calling me to do this. He actually spoke to me. And then Joseph told Mike all about that. And Mike was like, okay, but then you can't go do the missionary thing now, because usually people then work for something like that and make money, and then you go. And, you know, in the back of Mike's mind, he's like, and I'm not going to have a job, and your mom doesn't have a job, and all these different things, right? And so Joseph went to bed. Mike had a dream. God, you know, clarified that with Mike. Mike didn't say anything to Joseph. Joseph wakes up and goes, Dad, I'm really upset at you. Like, I want to go study scripture, and I want to go be a missionary. And I know God's calling me to both those things. And Mike's like, yeah, I know. I had a dream. And so that was happening. What we didn't realize with our oldest, to the far right, she's at home going, if my brother comes back from DTS and he's going on an SBS, I'm going. Like, I've been wanting to go for 2 years. My parents keep saying, finish your degree. You know, in her heart, she's like, I'm going. So Joseph comes back. He's like, I'm going to SBS. Michaela's like, I'm going to SBS. And Sarah's, sorry about all these acronyms. This is YWAM. I don't know. Maybe, Andy, you know why they do that, but maybe they keep things simple. And then Sarah knew that she was going to do a six-month journey in at DTS. So all that to say that what happened for Mike and I, we started realizing, okay, this dropping the nets thing is just really not easy, because we don't know what to say to our kids. Like, what do you say? Go do the missionary thing. It's just like, I don't know what to say to you, because we don't have the means, right? That they need the means, but there's where we got to drop the nets and just go, we trust you, God. And so their journey is really sweet. They actually are all at camp right now, and I'm actually going to put their blogs on the PowerPoint, because you're going to hear their story about this process. Not so much about our move, but what God's doing now. And I think what Mike and I realize with our Kairos moment is, if we looked too closely at the housing for six, if any of you know, housing in BC is kind of impossible, and then you throw no jobs on that, and that's really a challenge. So I think what we didn't realize at the time was that, like, the Lord had other plans that we didn't know about in September. So, and Michaela kind of said that to me the other day. She's like, Mom, you and Dad are super emotional leaving these memories and leaving this house. We are too. But you'd be staring at some bare walls this year with Sam if you stayed, right? Because God was moving in them to do their Kairos moment, right? He had a moment where they needed to respond, and we didn't know that. We didn't know that at the time. Joseph didn't even talk that way in December when they all applied at university, and then they said no to their universities. And so all of this sort of made me realize, okay, the plan is just, I think I got to give up on some of this plan thing. So the housing for six, let's put that aside. And we started realizing, I think we're going as three or four of us. It's going to be Sarah for a little bit, and Sam, Mike, and I. And so that was a real shift that happened in May. And then the other shift of my plan about the house, so I don't know how some of you make decisions, but if you imagine there's a lake right here, it's cold water. A lot of people just dive right in. But I'm one of those people, like, is anybody a dipper? Like, your foot and then your other foot. It's getting worse with age, because I'm like, my kids are so frustrated with me, but it takes me a long time to get in that lake. And that was similar with our house. I was like, yeah, absolutely, let's sell this house. You know, Mike starts smashing out the stairs, and I'm like, he doesn't know what's going on inside of me. I'm like, no, I actually can't give this house up. You know, I can't. I just can't do that. And so I go for a walk. I'm not really sharing this with Mike, because he's posturing us for a move. He's like jackhammering our stairs. And I come back from my walk, and he sold our house. So literally, that's what happened. And I was like, okay, I guess that one's gone too. So so it's all these things that God in this season has been just going, you know, the follow me part you got, but you're not kind of getting the order in this plan. And you need to give that up. And so I want to jump into, now adults, this is where you really need to get these 4 points, because I know a lot of you want a coffee this week and you want a freebie. So we're Manitobans, okay? We go for this stuff. So there's 4 things we can notice here about Jesus' invitation. Because one thing I've noticed, like, even as an 8-year-old around a campfire, is that I see God's fingerprints all over. Usually it involves God calling me out of something else into something new. And I don't necessarily mean, like, just for the record, that doesn't mean we're all called to go across the province and leave our vocations. Because I, like, Mike's been in his work for 23 years. We actually thought it was just a blip for him, not the career thing. We thought, oh, this is just a hump. He'll get over that and we'll move on. So it's not always that, right? The call is going to look different, but we're going to go through four things that we can notice about when Jesus calls us and how we respond. And the first one is the open-endedness of the invitation. And kids, if you want a bonus, if you want a bonus, like two treasures, try to get these 4 points if you're old enough. So the invitation is open-ended. So you'll notice he doesn't say to Peter and Andrew how they'll fish for people. He just says, come. Come after me and I'll form you. Is that just that image of poetry, right? Of, you can just imagine Genesis. He's forming us. He's going to do that. And I trust he'll do that with me. But they had to drop their nets. So it's open-ended. And often, Jesus's call is like that. You'll get the invitation, but you're not going to get the details. And that can confuse us because we want details. We're like that. We can Google everything. We want the details. And so I want to say it's open-ended. I didn't word this down, but there's also a cost to it. And I'm realizing that lately when I have this around because there's a major cost to us. And I didn't expect Mike and I think in December it seemed a little more romantic than what it's like now. Now that our house is like, it was a home where we saw all of our kids transform from kids into young adults, Sam's teenager. And that's really hard because we actually don't know what's happening. Like, it would even be a little bit better for me if I could just say, oh yeah, and then in June we'll have this place that we can welcome and live happily ever after. Like, I don't know that. And so that's why I have a lot of this, because when you dream of a family and then your family in a blink of an eye is just sort of gone, that's a real dropping of the nets that we're experiencing. And so it's a lot of tears for Mike and I. This community and like you guys, when I, like every time in worship, I'm actually looking for where this is, kind of eyeing it, because you're all we know. Like, and that's what I said in May, and that's my story. Like, I walked in to, these were different doors. It was 960 Main at the time, but I was 24. And so you're our community, and you're what our kids know. And so there's a cost. Like, it's actually really gut-wrenching for us. The second point that you're going to notice is that he calls us together. So he calls us with others. And that's what I love about this. Like, let's never stop doing this. Meet together. I love it. When I married Mike, I thought, like, when we go on holidays, we're totally sleeping in. But no. We go on holidays and we're finding a vineyard, or we're finding, like, whatever, Orthodox, or we are gathering together. I quickly realized that when actually even on our honeymoon, we went to a church somewhere out in the Whiteshell. We do that. So we really take that scripture literally. Like, we need you. We need each other. And we need fireside stories. We do. We're wired that way. And Jesus must have known that, because he noticed how he called the fishermen. So two sets of brothers, likely they would have known each other. They actually would have done business together. He called them together. And I wonder if Jesus knew how much we needed each other, but I actually wonder, because you see this in the Gospels, he needed them too, right? He needed them. He needed a dear group of friends around him to do what the Father was asking him to do. And so when Mike got accepted, like, we co-discerned with a few people, and we just said, what does this sound like to you? Are we running away? Is Mike, like, running from a career? Are we running from hard times in our community? What does this sound like? Like, co-discern. What's the body saying to you? Co-discern. I entertained the idea for a while of, yeah, I'll totally just send Mike and I'll stay here for 10 months nothing will shift. Well, we co-discerned and people were like, nah, that's not really super great for marriages if you don't have to do that. You know, I know some people have to, but so there's a co-discern, and Jesus must have known that, and he knows that about us. We need each other. And then the whole process with our kids, right? Going together. I mean, our kids are literally going to Europe together. That's such a neat gift. Third point, get your pens ready or your phones. It's immediate. And so obviously, like, we didn't immediately move in December. That would have been really messy. But there's an invitation. There's that kairos immediacy of how are we responding to Jesus? And what nets do we need to drop to respond to him? So, because Jesus is asking us, there's an immediate response, and all of us are carrying different nets into this space today. So maybe it's addiction, maybe it's insecurity, fear. There's all this stuff, right, that we bring. For me, it was like, I can't let go of my purpose. I can't do that. It's so vulnerable for me. It might not sound that way to you, but if you have my personality, that's extremely vulnerable. Like, how do I drop that? But he's asking us immediately to drop that. Be willing to drop that. And so Jesus is saying, you know, what's unhealthy? What's keeping you tangled? Like, maybe Peter and Simon and James and John, they had their identity wrapped up in this. And he's saying, drop it, drop it. It's tangling you up. Come and come right now after me and watch me form you. Because Jesus is always doing that. There's always more forming and more healing. Like someone said to me in this last season is, we just spend our whole life trying to recover from our childhood. Or just, you know, there's never enough time to sort of ask for the healing that you need. Like, we're on a journey and he's always inviting us more into who he hopes us to be. And that's what I felt in December. Like, oh, he's not done with us. This is so exciting. He hopes me to be someone. And this is who he's hoping me to be. He's hoping me to drop this purpose for him. And the fourth thing is that it's individual and it's unique. And so I love this about Jesus. Like, he doesn't walk into Galilee and go, hey, come, be a carpenter after me. Or he doesn't use kingdom words. He uses fisherman language. And he calls them out of what was old in their life into something new. And he uses their language. And that's what he'll do with us. I even believe this summer, this morning, he's calling us out of the old and into the new. And it's going to look different for each of us here. But it's individual. He's zoning in on you and coming into your world and saying, what's your tangle? I want to call you out of that. I want to call you into something new. So there is beauty in Jesus's points, and they're going to be up there. Kind of just spend time with that this week. Like, just go, Jesus, what is it that you're calling me to? What is it? Who can I grab with me to co-discern? And how does it look like? Like, how do I immediately respond? What sort of kairos moment? Like, this is a good time this summer to go, where are his fingerprints in my life? And Becky had a really beautiful message last week. I encourage you to listen to it, where she just talked about the fingerprints of God in her life and sort of grabbing handles of finding him. And so I encourage you this summer, like, where is he active? Where can you see him? And is he asking you to respond in a kairos way, like in an opportune way? Because he invites us and then asks us to respond. There is a response on our part. So I want to just give a little bit of space. I know I've gone a little bit over, but let's, Amanda, do you want to come up? And if you guys are comfortable, whoever's comfortable, let's just all stand together. Sort of this way of saying, we respond to you, Jesus. We respond. Not all of us are going to be called in the same way. It's all different this summer and this morning, but we respond to you. We just want to invite you to open our eyes, Lord. Some of us, even this morning, maybe want to say yes to you for the first time. Others of us, we know you, but we feel like we're falling asleep. Could you invite us to that new thing right now? Could you form us? Could you give us courage right now to drop the nets? The stuff that's keeping us up at night, the stuff that's stressing us out, the fear, the addiction. We just say, Jesus, you're our only hope. So I just invite us all to just stand, and let's just take a moment to ask the Lord, what are you calling me to? What should I drop?